What's going on, gamers? Welcome back to the Graveyard. I'm the Graveyard Gamer. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Graveyard Discussions. In today's episodes, I want to talk about, really, me playing through the Shenmue series. Well, you know, the ones that have released so far. Hopefully, we'll get a fourth one at some point. Shenmue 1, 2, and 3. And as a newcomer's take to those series, what did I think about them? Now, this is not a review. I don't mean that in a review type style. You can check out my reviews for Shenmue 1, 2, and 3. But I mean as somebody who had never played this series when it first released, back in 1999 on the Dreamcast, in 2001 on the original Xbox with Shenmue 2, and then even in 2019 when Shenmue 3 came out, I really just didn't know, should I play it, should I not? So it's not really a matter of what's the review score, it's just how did it feel for me jumping into Shenmue 1? What was that like? And I want to talk about that because I feel like this is a series a lot of people at this point have either stayed with, stayed true from back in the Dreamcast, or maybe they started with the Shenmue 2 game on the original Xbox, or it's a series that some people just kind of jumped off because, hey man, it took 18 years to get Shenmue 3, and then quite frankly, I think there's a lot of people that just never jumped on because, like me, they missed the first two, couldn't see what the big deal was for Shenmue 3 when it came out. It didn't really entice them because the reviews were not that great. So here we go. Let's talk about this, and let me talk about first trying out Shenmue 1. So I played this game last November, and I have to tell you, I didn't know what to expect. I'd originally kind of dabbled with it when I had a chance on Game Pass back in 2019. This is a couple months before Shenmue 3 came out. And I only got about 3 or 4 hours into it. And to be honest with you, I enjoyed what I played. Sure, it is sort of tank controls. I think one of the things the remaster did is they went and kind of loosened it up that it is 3D movement, but it kind of, in certain situations, it does kind of feel like tank controls. But it was my first dip in the world. Well, to be honest with you, it was about 2 years later before I played through the game in earnest, like I said, last November. And here's the thing. In 2018, I really kind of was getting focused on wanting to play the Yakuza franchise. I really just, there was something about it that I was like, man, this game screams something I would like. But all I kept hearing is the closest game to compare it to wasn't the Grand Theft Auto series, but it was actually Shenmue. And I didn't know what to expect with that. Well, going into Shenmue 1, even back in 2019 when I was just experimenting on Game Pass, I got to point out that I had actually at that point played Yakuza 0 and Yakuza Kiwami. Now, these games were, you know, PS4 games. These games were made in 2017, I believe, and 2018. So they were a lot newer than what Shenmue was coming out from 1999. But having gone back to Shenmue 1, I can tell you I can see the thread between the original Yakuza games and the original Shenmue game. I don't think it's as in-depth. I think people that kind of talk about how, yeah, it's a spiritual successor, I think sometimes that gets overly credited, right? Yakuza is very simple. I mean, the town is a major part of the story and what you're doing. A lot of times in the Yakuza series, we get to different towns and stuff, but still, it is a big part of it. But the difference with Shenmue is Shenmue is a very personal experience, right? In Yakuza, you're going to have different people that you will interact with. But there's a lot of NPCs in the world that are just walking around. Shenmue, the biggest difference is every NPC you see, for the most part, you can go talk to. And they're going to have some story to tell you. Or, more impressively, you're going to use those to find out where to go next. See, there's no mission marker, right? There's no pink dot like you get in the Yakuza series of like, oh, I got to go there. No, this is more figure out what to do. Somebody says, hey, you need to learn Kung Fu. Well, you need to go talk to people. Go talk to the different places that sell those Kung Fu books, and they'll kind of give you a little bit to go on, and then you as the player have to kind of put it together. Now, of course, if you don't, the main character will be like, hey, yeah, I think I should go here. But you can start picking up those breadcrumbs and figure out where to go. So, yes, I did see a definite semi-connection there and some spiritual successorness with Yakuza, but I definitely think the Yakuza series is its own breed completely in general in and of itself. But more importantly, my time with Shenmue, I just played through it and I was really wrapped up in this story. And the one thing I have to say is I love the way each of these games is their own particular chapters in this grander story. Where, yeah, you kind of want to know what happened in the previous game, but it doesn't completely set you off from knowing and understanding what's happening in the game you're playing. For example, if you didn't play Shenmue 1, you went straight to Shenmue 2, there's a good chance that maybe you wouldn't know all the characters, but a recap video would be fine because once you start playing Shenmue 2, it is very much what's happening in that game. If you'd never played any of the other Shenmues and you went to Shenmue 3, again, a recap video, kind of get an idea of who some of these major characters are and what the major story is. But Shenmue 3's story in and of itself is its own story. And I thought that was awesome. I really enjoyed that. It was a different way to tell a story. I thought it's kind of a type of storytelling that is just underutilized. We don't see that a lot. And the reason is because probably the biggest problem is, quite frankly, we don't actually, when it comes to gaming, you have issues where we wait 18 years for a Shenmue 3 because you got to get budgeting and you don't know if there's ever going to be a Shenmue 4 to continue on with it. So I can understand that being a major issue, as I talked about in my Shenmue 3 review. But going back to Shenmue 1, I know I'm going off trails here, but it's just as I talk, it just kind of pulls in the whole series, if you will. But Shenmue 1 was a lot of fun. I think it might have had the most independently strong story of the three that I've played. I love the idea that somebody just comes in the beginning of this game and just kills your dad. And you're going to figure out this guy's Lan D, but you have no idea what's going on. And here's what I really love about it. There's no mission marker telling you where to go anywhere, like I said. So you're just going to talk to people. And as you're helping a young girl out with a kitten and getting them going, you kind of find out that she saw a black car drive by. So you're going to talk to many people throughout the city, and it's going to slowly bring you around to a certain gang you've got to take out. And that's going to have you going to different people who own different shops to figure more and more about this game. That's going to lead you to going and working on the docks. And all these things feel like a natural progression. There is no, hey, I'm going to go beat up this guy and that guy, and that guy is going to squeal on the whole deal, and I'll know exactly where to go. There is a slow progression to get that, and it makes it feel real. That, in turn, makes that game world feel very realistic. I absolutely loved what they did there. I had so much fun with it. I enjoyed when you started to go work a job. Like, at the beginning of the game, you get an allowance every time you leave the house. I think that still continues throughout the entire game. But after a while, you have to save up money. You have to earn money, and that means you got to go to work. Racing forklifts. And I got to be honest with you, that's how you start the day, and then obviously you have the job of moving things around with the forklift, but it was just an enjoyment doing that. I enjoyed that. It was something simple about it that I found like, okay, I can understand why people 20 years prior would really get wrapped up into this. Not only that, but man, I thought it was really cool walking around the world, and this is where a lot of the Yakuza influence, I feel, or I should say the Shenmue influence is in Yakuza, where there's like an arcade and they have real games you can go in there and play, and I thought that was actually really cool. Now, the difference is, and one of the toughest parts about Shenmue 1 is the simple fact that everything's based on a time. Like, you can't really go back to your house and go to bed until 9 o'clock at night. You have to be there by 11 or it'll fast travel you there. So what that kind of does is there's times where, hey, I've got like 5 in-game hours to kill, but there's not a lot to do in the world. Back in the day, I could see spending a lot of time in the arcade. I could see just taking the amazement of walking around and seeing things. But after a while, like, yeah, there's just not a lot to do nowadays. But it was really, it was a cool experience. It was a great way into it. And like I said in my review, it's a total replay. I definitely think if you haven't, I think you should definitely try these games out. They're a lot of fun. What about Shenmue 2? Now, as somebody that enjoyed Shenmue 1, I go into Shenmue 2 this past spring. And to be honest with you, right out the gate, I think it's a cool title. Like, you kind of pick up where the cliffhanger of Shenmue 1 ends, and it just starts right off with Shenmue 2, and you're walking around, and man, you can get mugged. But I will tell you the one thing that happens in this game, and I know I'm jumping ahead right here, is the gambling. It didn't affect me in Shenmue 1. I don't know if it was even in Shenmue 1, but boy, when you needed to make some money, I found myself going, hey, I can go move pallets, you know, carrying with somebody, or I can go to some of these illegal gambling places, and that is what I did. And whoo, fellas, did I make a lot of money gambling. Not quite as much as I'd make in Shenmue 3, but again, the world just feel lived in, because here's the deal. You need money. And instead of just doing a job for somebody and making $5,000 like you would in like Grand Theft Auto, in this game, you got to go get a job, or you got to go gamble, or whatever you got to do, because you're not going to progress without it. There's a ton of cool jobs you get to do. There's one with moving books. There's one, I didn't find a forklift one in this game, but I did find one where you and somebody else carry pallets and you move them. I enjoyed a lot about it. Now, I will say, I thought the first city you go to and you spend the vast majority of the game in, I really liked the layout. I thought it was a lot of fun. And ultimately, I thought the story was, again, strong. I would say, well, I felt the first game story had a stronger story. I liked a lot of the characters in this game even more. I really did. Then when you get to the second city, I didn't like the layout as much, but it was very interesting. It was like a seedy underbelly, if you will. There's fighting rings to take down. There's like this giant hotel that you got to go through multiple layers with. And they even have this really interesting, I thought it went a little too long, they have this interesting mission where you have to sit there and follow somebody. And while it did go a little too long, it was just kind of really cool to see the developers set up a bunch of different QuickTime events, a couple different movements, a couple different places you got to hide. All of that was really cool. But I've got to also give it credit because I'm about to forget. I've talked about the fighting. The fighting in these first two games are very much like Virtual Fighter, right? And the creator, Yu Suzuki, also created Virtual Fighter. You can play Virtual Fighter in the arcades. But the important thing is, if you're a fighting style fan, if you like that kind of combat, that is what Shinmue is based on. So once you kind of learn those moves and you practice them, you get really good at them. But then there's also QuickTime events. And think about QuickTime events. This was one of the first games to really popularize it. It might even be the first one. They'll pop up and you'll have to hit the directional pad or the, you know, the A or the X or whatever you're playing on button to correspond it. And if you don't, typically you get a pretty funny scene of just getting knocked out. So all of that was really cool. And as I'm playing this now, and I know that, you know, God of War would eventually take that and make it a big thing. And then a lot of games started doing it, like the Telltale games or the Until Dawn's and the Quarry and the Supermassive games. This is like the granddaddy. So it's kind of cool to see how it all plays out. And again, I thought they were used pretty well. Like, none of them does it feel like a cheap cop-out to combat. It feels like a way to continue a cool cutscene, right? Like, okay, I'm running and I got to jump over this fire. Instead of trying to, like, navigate it, I got to jump just right so that I can focus on the story, focus on what's going on. And it was really cool. And again, the entire time I'm playing this game, I'm absolutely getting sucked into it. And I'm going, wow, this game came out in 2001, but this thing is holding my attention. I'm enjoying playing it. And then you get to the end, and I got to say, I got tore up for this. Whoo! I made a comment on Twitter that I thought walking around the last area, taking 2 hours to get from the boat to the finale of the game was excessive. I still believe that, but apparently Shinmue lovers loved it. And it is. I mean, you're just walking. Occasionally you go collect sticks, but you just walk. And you have conversations with Shinmue, and she kind of fills you in on the story and whatnot. And yes, it is a nice world building, but that I can say that we seem to have done a lot better over the last few years, kind of incorporating that. Now, I do have a whole conversation about that where I talk about storytelling overtaking gameplay, but this might have been one of the first times it really kind of just, to me, just kind of overwhelmed it. And probably the first time playing Shinmue 1 and 2 that I was like, this is kind of boring, man. Can we move on? But other than that, I mean, you have those original two games that I thought the remasters were well done. Like I said, check out the review. But I can see why people were so into it. Because at the end of the day, those stories, again, each of them are self-contained, the story in that game, but it's tying to this bigger story, this bigger epic saga that you want to see continue. And they constantly hint, especially in Shinmue 3, when you had the loading scenes, that Shinmue meets Ryu and she doesn't realize that he is changing her fate as much as his. But, and I'm going to jump to Shinmue 3 here, we never find out how, because again, it's self-contained and it kind of starts to build that way, but you get a tease at the end like, okay, something big is about to happen. There's a new character involved. She seems just as dirty as Lan D. However, we don't know the implications and what's going to happen. So there is that, but Shinmue 3, going into that, and again, the review is out there, so I'm going to try not to get too much into review territory here. I can imagine if I'd have played that without having experienced the other games, it being like, okay, I'm going to watch this opening cutscene, I'm going to watch the recap video, and it's a little odd because it is still the same thing. Like, again, it is feels like a 2019 version of a 2003 game. Other than the graphics are prettier, the gameplay is tighter. I mean, you do the same stuff you do in Shinmue 1 and 2. So if you played the remasters of Shinmue 1 and 2 and you're like, yeah, those weren't for me, Shinmue 3 is not going to be for you. Like, there's no major, like, hey, this is what Shinmue's always should be about. Like, this is the upgrade of it. It's not. But as somebody that had played those two games, going into Shinmue 3, I really dug it. I like playing with new style controls and those quality of life things. And again, there's just something simple about walking around a town and talking to people, talking to different NPCs, and, you know, just kind of working the economy in the game and seeing where this story is going, that, I mean, it's just a fun series. You know, a lot of times when gamers talk about an older series and they're like, yeah, it's so great, it's harder to get into years later just because quality of life and what we're expecting from graphics and gameplay and just storytelling in general, it's harder to get into that. I'm telling you right now, guys, if you can deal with the fact that, yes, it is dated, if you can deal with that, because I think it is finely tuned, you can enjoy Shenmue 1 and 2. I think playing Shenmue 3, whether you play it by itself or you play it with the previous two being played, you know, relatively soon, I think it's an awesome flow. I think you should be able to get into it very easily. Even if you just said, screw it, I just want to play the latest one. My good friend Hulking Yoda over at Lost at Sea Gaming podcast right here on Anchor, he has picked up Shenmue 3, and I still recommend that he just plays that. I know he has the original two. Just, hey guys, we all know what it's like to have a backlog and all these games. Chances of him getting to Shenmue 1 and 2, probably not very high. But he's got Shenmue 3, and I'll tell you right now, Hulking Yoda, I definitely think that if you found the time to play it, I think you would enjoy it. There's just this simpleness about talking to people, unraveling a grander scheme while working on a mystery in that particular game is just awesome. So it's got my thumbs up. I'll definitely be extremely excited to see a Shenmue 4 when it comes out, and I can't recommend it enough. If you're a gamer that loved the first two games and you waited so long that you just kind of didn't really want to play a Shenmue 3, it didn't fancy you, I think you should give it a shot. It'll feel just like Shenmue 1 and 2, only little quality of life changes. If you're a gamer that never jumped on the Shenmue 1 and 2 and you just went to 3 and it wasn't what you were expecting, I'm going to tell you to try it again. Just this time, just relax. Don't let the comparisons to the Yakuza series get in your mind, because it's totally different than that. If you've played Yakuza in the last 5 years, it's a different style of game than Shenmue. There's just little connections, right? Little deals with the environment and things like that, but don't let that factor into you. Just go to the game fresh mind and just play it. And ultimately, if you're somebody that played the remasters and you just haven't played 3 yet, try it out. I think you'll love it. Gamers, I'm a very big fan of Shenmue now. Hopefully we'll see a 4, but overall, it's probably one of the coolest things I've done over the last 8 months is to play through these games. So with that being said, gamers, I would love to know your take on the Shenmue, whether you played from old school, you got on with the remasters, or you only played 3, or hey, maybe you're like me and you're like, I don't know if I can get on there, that, you know, trying to jump in on a third game when there's been two previous games in all these years. I would love to know your thoughts on it. Let me know. TheGraveyardGamer@gmail.com, TheGraveyardGamer on Instagram, or TheGraveyardG on Twitter. Till next time, I'll be creeping around the graveyard.